I'm Nora Flaherty. You're listening to MPBN Radio. Ahead on Main Things Considered this evening, Governor Paul LePage campaigns to test people receiving TANF payments, often known as welfare, for drugs. And Hyde School pulls its boys basketball team out of the Maine Principals Association over allegations of racism. Those stories in a moment. First, this news. This is Main Things Considered on MPBN Radio. I'm Nora Flaherty. Maine's Governor Paul LePage continues his campaign to reform the state's welfare system with a bill aimed at cracking down on recipients who use illicit drugs. LePage is proposing a drug testing program for Mainers who receive benefits from the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program, or TANF. As Mal Leary reports, opponents question whether the bill is constitutional, and they say it could hurt poor children.
Governor LePage is a firm believer in the old adage that if at first you don't succeed, try again. His first attempts to require drug testing of welfare recipients were defeated in the legislature, except for a measure that allows testing of TANF recipients that have been convicted of a drug felony. That program went into effect late last year. Department of Health and Human Services Commissioner Mary Mayhew says the latest proposal from the administration comes in response to a growing problem.
We know that we have got a serious problem with substance abuse in Maine. We've got to look at ways in which we are identifying it. And in this case, if they test positive, we are offering them the opportunity to participate in a substance abuse treatment program.
The administration proposal would require all TANF recipients to submit to a drug screening questionnaire called the Substance Abuse Subtle Screening. Anyone who fails the SASE screen would be required to undergo a urinalysis, and those who test positive would lose benefits unless they agree to undergo treatment. But Omi Amarisingham of the American Civil Liberties Union of Maine says the group believes LePage's proposal violates the Constitution.
The ACLU of Maine has consistently opposed the administration's repeated efforts to force poor Mainers to submit to suspicionless drug tests. We agree that Mainers are suffering from addiction, but we cannot see how violating the constitutional rights of Mainers receiving TANF benefits will stem this public health crisis.
Emma Riesingham says the creators of the screening system, the SASE Institute, have made clear that it is intended only as a tool to screen for substance abuse disorders and should not be used to deny public assistance. Over a dozen states have similar laws already in effect. Some of those laws apply to all applicants. Others include specific language requiring, for example, a reason to believe that the person is engaging in illegal drug activity or has a substance abuse disorder. Florida's law was blocked by a federal judge in December as unconstitutional. Holly Lusk, a policy advisor to Governor LePage, told lawmakers this proposal is different.
And certainly a Florida-style wholesale, everyone gets drug tested regardless of the suspicion that anyone has as to whether they are drug users, first of all, doesn't make sense from a cost perspective. And in addition to that, it doesn't make sense in terms of a constitutional perspective.
But Susan Lamb says the real victims here will be low-income children. Lamb, who is executive director of the Maine chapter of the National Association of Social Workers, testified against the LePage bill.
The best way to treat addiction is not with a game of gotcha. People with addiction are often parents of children, and those children living below the poverty level are entitled to food on the table and a roof over their heads, no matter what their parents' addiction issues are.
The legislation once again faces opposition on the committee as well. Several lawmakers questioned the constitutionality and effectiveness of the proposal. It's expected that the panel will split on the measure, which is likely to generate considerable floor debate. For MPBN News, I'm Mal Leary.
You're listening to Maine Things Considered on MPBN Radio. Still to come is a Maine private school's basketball team the victim of racism. First, though, Democrats, Republicans, employers, and workers turned out today to endorse a bill that pumps nearly $2 million a year into a job training program with the goal of building a better state workforce. Sponsored by Democratic House Speaker Mark Eaves, the measure pairs private industries with Maine's community colleges to help develop training courses for a number of increasingly technical fields like logging and healthcare. There is broad support for the bill, but the LePage administration has opted not to take a position on the plan. A.J. Higgins has more.
There's more to Democratic House Speaker Mark Eaves' Put Maine to Work bill than a catchy title. The measure has attracted conservative support from Republicans such as Senators Amy Volk and Andre Cushing because the bill attempts to directly address the concerns that Eaves and other lawmakers are hearing from Maine's major employers.
The number one thing that we have heard is that we need to invest in our workers if we are going to grow our economy.
The Put Maine to Work bill does this, Eaves says, by directly involving employers from Maine industries in the design of training programs for workers requiring high-tech skills. Those fields can be as diverse as healthcare and logging, but the need to keep pace with advances in equipment is a common challenge facing all employers. Eve says the linkage between private employers and higher ed is as important as the money the bill would provide for scholarships, matching grant funds, and the community college system.
The public-private partnership between the industries and the college is exactly the kind of model we should be using across Maine to grow jobs, help workers, and help employers. The Put Me to Work program aims to create these kinds of industry-led, regionally-driven partnerships with industries across the state.
Members of the pulp and paper industry were highly represented at the legislature's Labor, Commerce, and Economic Development Committee room, where support for the bill was strong. Steve Hannington, whose family runs a major logging contractor business in Mequahawk, says the stereotypical image of today's woodsman has changed.
When you see a logger, don't think of Paul Bunyan up in front of the Cross Center. Think of small businesses who are really, really trying to struggle to hang on.
Hannington says today's woodworker operates complicated harvesting machinery, a job that is far from an entry-level position. He says he needs more applicants who have the required technical skills and that those who lack those qualifications know enough not to apply.
I don't have an awful lot of people come to my office looking for a job that's unemployed right now or at the high school level.
No one spoke against Eve's bill, but Julie Rabinowitz from the State Department of Labor told the panel that the administration is taking a neither for nor against position on the measure because it fails to include remedies for several unaddressed scenarios, such as competing demands from the private sector to provide matching grant funds.
Resources are limited. Criteria as to how competing proposals will be evaluated should be included in the bill. As outlined, we can envision several industries or businesses submitting competing proposals.
I'm just trying to understand why you wouldn't be totally in support of it.
Committee member Representative Anne Marie Mastracchio, a Sanford Democrat, said she can't understand why the LePage administration is not endorsing a proposal that Maine industries say they want. She says Rabinowitz should wish for the kind of problem she says the bill fails to address.
To not be in support because we might have too many businesses that want to participate would be, to me, a total success.
The bill is scheduled to be reviewed further by the committee on Thursday. For MPBN News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
Finally today, an independent boarding school in Bath is putting its boys' basketball team out of the Maine Principals Association, the governing body for competitive sports among all public and some private high schools in Maine. Officials at Hyde School say the team and its players were on the receiving end of unfair officiating and racial slurs from the crowd during this year's Class D Western Maine basketball finals. The Maine Principals Association says it received a letter from Hyde objecting to the officiating, but only recently learned of the allegations of racial slurs directed at players. Jay Field reports.
It was a good season for the Hyde School boys basketball program. After defeating Searsport in the quarterfinals, Hyde took care of Valley Bingham in the semis of the Western Maine Class D Championship. Waiting for them in the finals was Forest Hills, a perennial basketball power from Jackman.
We talked to our kids beforehand saying it was going to be a really tough physical game.
John Mellinger, Hyde's athletic director, says Forest Hills had two skilled big men playing on the inside.
And that was going to be a tough thing for us because we were kind of playing small. We didn't really have as good of a matchup and an answer for those two kids.
The team went with a man-to-man defense. That usually results in more fouling. Still, as the game wore on, Mellinger says officials seemed to be calling an inordinate number of fouls against Hyde. With 6 or 7 minutes left in the second half, as many as 5 Hyde players had already fouled out. Forest Hills ended up taking 45 foul shots in the contest. Hyde took just 6. As this foul shot disparity widened, meantime, something else was going on in the crowd that made the high team and its players and supporters uncomfortable.
We had, people that were sitting in the stands kind of behind the benches who had kind of reported to us and to some other school officials that there were disparaging comments made towards and about our student body and some of our student athletes.
Two of Hyde's top players are African American, and the offensive comments from the stands reportedly included racial slurs. In a posting over the weekend on a high school sports blog, Malcolm Gauld, the school's president, announced that the Hyde boys basketball program would be leaving the Maine Principals Association for the New England Preparatory School Athletic Council. Gauld says the racial comments were similar to ones directed at Hyde and its athletes in the 1980s. When added to our feelings regarding the aforementioned officiating, wrote Gauld, it just seems as though the only redress available is to do something else.
I will tell you that if there are any of those types of comments at any of our competitions that we run, and if the people that are in charge become aware of those, I will assure everyone in the state that those will be addressed.
Dick DeRost, executive director of the Maine Principals Association, says MPA officials at the game between Hyde and Forest Hills were not aware of any racial comments being made. On March 3rd, DeRoss says the MPA did get an email from an official at Hyde taking issue with the disparity in foul calls during the game.
Very often there's a disparity among the number of fouls called, and there can be very good reasons for that. Those things can, from time to time, be explained by the tempo of the game, the types of defenses played, and certainly near the end of the game when the team that's behind and believes that they may have a chance to get back into it tend to foul for a lot of strategic reasons.
In announcing the decision to leave the MPA, Malcolm Gauld wrote, "At risk of understatement, the positive interactions and opportunities over the years indeed make this a bittersweet occasion." Hyde's girls basketball team, meantime, will remain in the league. For MPBN News, I'm Jay Field.
And it's 13 minutes before 6 o'clock. Time to check the weather forecast with our meteorologist, Paul Cousins.
An overnight weather rewind is underway. Low clouds will expand and close ranks. Fog redeveloping after midnight, and showers will encroach upon all but Downey's counties by dawn. Mid-40s to low 50s for all. Tomorrow will be the only murky day of the week statewide. Isolated evening showers or thundershowers west. Temperatures will range from near 70 inland south of the mountains tomorrow, 60s for many, 50s along the coast, coolest down east. Expect a complete change of air Wednesday as high pressure resumes dominance. Over northern and western Maine, there will be limited sunshine with an isolated sprinkle. Expect a blend of sun and clouds for the remainder of the state, brightest Portland south, and quite windy. Thursday, partly cloudy north, mostly sunny for most. This is meteorologist Paul Cousins for the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.
And that's Maine Things Considered. Thanks today to Tom Porter, Ed Morin, Susan Sharon, and Andrew Catalina. I'm Nora Flaherty.